Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Our guest today, Chava Alberstein, performing with the Klezmatics, an excerpt from her Grammy Award-winning album, The Well. Miss Alberstein has been called the first lady of Israeli songs, but one should really say she is Israeli and has been acclaimed internationally for her thought-provoking, sensitive, and contemporary interpretation of traditional and classical themes. We caught up with her on her whirlwind tour here in Philadelphia, where she recently performed at the Kimmel Center.
Hello.
Miss Alberstein?
Yes.
Jill Pasternak.
Hi, Jill.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I have to tell you that I really discovered you some years back on an album called The Well, which I think is very...
And with the Klezmatics, yes.
And with the Klezmatics, but I didn't know who you were, and I...
Oh, really?
I had gotten this album, and I listened, I said, who is that woman? And this was a while ago, I must say, and now here you are, and I was thrilled to hear that you were appearing at the Kimmel Center, and you are coming out with a new album, is that right?
Yes. It just came out a few months ago, and next month another one. I'm a workaholic a little bit.
Well, but you didn't work for a while. I have all kinds of things to ask you.
Okay.
You are considered probably the most famous singer in Israel. You've released over 54 recordings. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, these new recordings that you have, I guess I was told that you had been very, very active, and then you stopped, actually, for several years.
I will correct the information.
Okay.
No, I'm active all the time, actually, but I stopped performing in Israel for the last 7 years, but I still performed all over the world. I just made a little... I felt like I had to take some time off from concerts in Israel, from personal reasons, and so this was the feeling that I stopped. But in those 7 years, I still released like 4 albums.
Yes, was again personal reasons for Israel, but Israel's very, very important to you. I know
very
emotionally
important.
Everything that you talk about is, of course, connected with your being there and living there and being
yes.
raised there. And
now
you speak Hebrew and Yiddish.
Yes.
The songs that you sang last night, I speak neither. I just know the Americanisms of Yiddish.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yes, yes.
But you sang, you of course described what you were talking about, which was very profound and very philosophical as well.
Mm-hmm.
Were they in Yiddish or was it Hebrew?
Most of the songs were in Hebrew, and there were 2 songs from The Well, from the Klezmatics, in Yiddish. The Boxer Boim and the Golden Peacock. Those were in Yiddish, yeah. Usually I explain a little bit more about the language and the relationship, the difficult relationship between Yiddish and in Hebrew. Those are two languages with the same alphabet, the same alphabet,
yes.
From right to left. And although they are sisters, there was a big war between those sisters. People were fighting whether Jewish people should speak Yiddish or Hebrew. And then came history, as it often happens, and history decided who will win.
Exactly.
And Hebrew won because all the Yiddish speakers were murdered in the Holocaust. So this is a tragic end for a language.
That was the reason. I had not realized that. I thought that it was because it was the language of the Bible, Hebrew, and that Yiddish was, in a sense, I don't want to offend, but a corruption of
I guess. Jargon. They call it a jargon.
It's a jargon, like, okay.
A mixture of yes. different kinds. Yes, you can find, again, you can find a lot of philosophical reasons. But as I said, the truth is that history, without any sentiment, you know,
yes.
Decides to hear right or left, you know, and this was the fate of Yiddish and Yiddish speakers. Without speakers, there's no language.
Well, what's very interesting is you can go all over the world as you have, and you can speak the language of the country, and if you're speaking to someone who speaks Yiddish, they intersperse the Yiddish words with
yes.
the language of the country.
Yes.
So it's really quite a universal language.
Yes, it's a universal language. It's a magical, it's very interesting as a story. The story of this language is very fantastic because it's a language that existed without borders. You know, it's not that you can say like Gaelic or different of
right.
Flemish. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can say exactly in this and these places people are speaking. No, Yiddish is that's why I'm so in love with this crazy language because it's a kind of anarchistic language. You know, there is no specific homeland. And no flag, you know, no hymn, no army, nothing. It's just wherever
the culture of the people.
It's something very spiritual, yes, and that's why I like it so much.
But what's very interesting is when, for instance, here on our station, we are a music station, half classical, half jazz,
mm-hmm.
and the show that I do is the boundaries have extended to all, I guess, no boundaries at all because
yeah.
Music is music, but. When there are Jewish holidays, the High Holy Days or something, the mm-hmm. only music that I have found here at the station, I've gone out myself and gotten other things, are Yiddish things.
Yes.
And I try to explain to the people that this is, again, a universal language, but Hebrew is the language of the temple, of the synagogue.
Yeah, yeah. It's but Hebrew became, you know, the only community that still speaks very alive Yiddish in the world today are the Orthodox, the very Orthodox Jewish.
Yes, the Hasidim.
The Hasidim. They speak. They refuse to speak Hebrew because Hebrew for them is only for the Bible.
It would be blasphemous, I
yes.
guess. Yeah.
And they call usually they say that Hebrew is the princess and Yiddish is the
king.
No. Yiddish is the how do you say the slave, the woman
yes.
that keeps your house
yeah,
clean.
Yes.
You know, the, It's 1 degree less, you know.
Well, yes, I guess it is, but you can't live without the woman to clean the
exactly,
house.
Right? Exactly.
Now, again, you, what do you consider yourself, a folk singer? Or
I think I'm basically a folk singer, but as you said about yourself, about those crossovers
yes.
that we go on, I grew up in such a mixed house with music. My brother is a jazz musician.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a classic teacher. He studied classical music.
Yes.
And so I think I'm a mixture of everything, but I think basically my roots are folk roots. I think this is if you look into the subject that I choose to sing and the things that interests me, it's more folk songs. It's not like you know, rock singers that
no, it isn't.
Basically sing about themselves and the blues of their hearts and mm-hmm. soul and very personal, intimate things. I like folk singers. I believe I like to look outside, to look at other people, at other things that happen, and tell stories about what I see and learn about the world. Not so much about myself.
But it is a commentary. There is a philosophical bent to it. I know when I listen to you. I think that's what I felt in you initially when I first heard The Well. First of all, your voice is very beautiful, I
Thank
might say.
You.
But it is emotional and it is cultured in a sense. I mean, you sing like not a classical singer, but you don't distort
No.
your voice in
yeah.
any way. And,
no,
and
I try, yes.
It's
because
mellifluous,
I feel like
yes.
my voice is the instrument. It's
it
like
is.
Like like the pencil for the painter or something
mm-hmm.
that you have to paint exactly what you want and you don't want to show off too much all the tricks that, you know, that you can do with
sure.
your voice. You just want to serve the melody and the words.
And it comes through, there's no question. Do you normally play with like a trio?
Yes. In the first years, I sang a lot by myself. When I started, it was really just me and the guitar. But in the last years, like 13, 14 years, those are I feel like they are my part of my body, those two musicians. We work a lot in concerts and in albums, and I can really do a new song that they never heard tonight and at the concert, and they will exactly know what I mean and play with me.
That's wonderful. Yes. Now, they are, please mention their names again.
Yes, Ove de Frat is the guitar player, and Avi Agababa is the percussionist.
Oh, it was
He's
beautiful.
One of the greatest.
One of the greatest with the bells
he's
and
really
the...
really one of the greatest in Israel, yes. He's fantastic. The things that he takes out from those little instruments is magic.
It was, magic. And the phrasing and just, and it also adds a Middle Eastern. There is a sense there of the Israeli music. Well, it's Yiddish. It's music, I guess.
It's music.
You're in a minor key a lot. And of course that, I guess people say, well, you know, she's singing Yiddish, so she sings in a minor key, but you know.
No, even Israeli songs are minor key very
yes,
much.
Interesting.
Yes.
And, of course, it's Western, but the Israeli music is Western. I mean, it's not.
Oh, no, Israeli music is again a crossover.
Right.
We come back again to this word. Because, you know, people came from all over the world to Israel.
Yes, yes.
So there were times when we were inspired very much by Russian music and then South American
of
music.
Course.
And today you can see a lot of Greek music and Turkish music. But basically pop music is more a major key because it's more American. It's more Western. But it's only the pop. But most of the songs that Israelis are really like to sing, you know, for themselves, you know, like singing in the bathroom.
Right. That's right. Yes.
It will be in minor key.
Yes,
this
well.
This is our sentiment. There's a lot of cultural things going on in this crazy country. I know outside it's basically, you know, war and armies and tanks and bombs and terror, but so many cultural beautiful things are going on in Israel. Any kind
Always.
Of you can think jazz
yes.
and classical.
And art, everything. I mean art.
A lot, yeah.
But can you, for the audience, talk about that a little bit, about what we hear and what we see on this end? About Israel, I mean, it's when you're there, it's a different story, but it is constant war.
It's a war, and the news, of course, the news like to deal with the most extreme things in life. And basically, we are a country at war, and the problem of the relationship between us and the Arabs is not solved yet. Because our leaders from both sides are typical Middle East machos that are not ready to bend their heads a little bit and they are full with egos.
But wasn't there
terrible?
Wasn't there a period where the Israelis and the Arabs lived together? I mean, there was a point there.
There were periods, you know, little pieces of times. When things started to look a little brighter, you know, but it's not enough. It's not enough. It's possible. Because
well, I think earlier, before all of the, I mean, even before the
before
Six-Day
the state
War,
of Israel.
Yes.
Because
sure.
there were no states when the people start to create state and borders and walls, like your famous poet said, Frost, about the wall. It's not good.
Yes, because I think there was an understanding at one point there, the Palestinians.
And we are close. I mean, when I travel in the world, I feel much more closer to my Palestinian neighbors than to Swiss people, you know,
Of course.
To German people or to Dutch people, because it's my element. It's my the Middle East, the temperament we have. And we even look a little bit like
that. Very, very much,
and
I think,
I'm so sad that it's not solved. It's terrible. It could have been paradise, really.
Did you serve at all in the army?
Yes, I served in the army as a singer.
Tell us a little bit about
that. Oh, yes, I was a singer. We had, like, groups of entertainment, and I was by my own and entertainment. In the beginning, I was with two more, a comedian and an accordion player, and then I started to travel by myself. I could have done like 5, 6, 8 little concerts a day. They sent me sometimes to sing for 5 soldiers, sometimes for 20, sometimes for more. And I was traveling, and I guess this was my best school. This is better than Juilliard and anything
else. Well, that we had the USO, I guess, and I still think we do have the troops that
this was,
that
you have to fight with soldiers that are not very kind, and I am not Betty Grable, as you know.
Well, I sat very far back in the auditorium, so you look good to me.
No, and but today I look better. But when I was younger, with my big glasses and my too long shirt, and I looked so funny. But I had to fight against them, you know.
Convince
them.
And a woman alone, of course.
Alone, yes. A woman alone. It's so funny.
That never changes, right?
No
matter where you go.
Exactly.
Now, the new albums, have you changed your style in any way? What was the inspiration for both of these?
Okay, well, first of all, most of my albums are in Hebrew, of course. But from time to time, I go back to this language that I cannot disconnect from Yiddish. And what happened with The Well is something very mysterious for me. Usually when we sing Yiddish, we sing old songs, traditional songs, classical songs that are already existing in Yiddish. But the miracle with The Well was that I suddenly started to compose my own songs. I composed Yiddish poems.
Yes.
Into my music, and the klezmatics, luckily for me, understood exactly what I meant, and this is what the album is about: a new material in Yiddish. Because basically, there is
nothing.
And I continued when I started, and I saw that it's okay. So in the last years, I continued to write songs in Yiddish, and this last album is called Lemele. Lemele is a little lamb. The song is about, how would I say, this biblical terrible story about Abraham that has to sacrifice his son.
Yes.
And then, of course, in the Bible, in the original story, there is this lamb that saves him, and he does not sacrifice him. But in this poem that I believe relates to the Holocaust, there is no lamb in the end. Nothing helps, and Isaac is being sacrificed. So most of the poems are modern Yiddish poetry, and it's a little different from The Well. The Well is more klezmer folkish.
Yes.
This one is more, I feel like, more classical. The orchestration is more classical.
And you play again with the trio?
No, I play. This is a very interesting project. I recorded it in Czechoslovakia with Czech musicians. A Czech musician that I met, he fell in love with The Well, and we became friends, and we talked. And he is a composer that writes usually music for films. And he's a great guy, a great soul, and he understood so well what I want. So he arranged it in a mixture of traditional East European music with beautiful folk Czech musicians with interesting instruments and a symphonic orchestra.
Oh, so it's a large orchestra.
It's a big orchestra. It's a mixture of some folk
instruments.
Instruments. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting album. I must admit that it came out really more than I could dream about. Yeah,
that's wonderful. And of course, it's in Yiddish. And how do you feel about the marketing of that album? As I say, I mean, I got this. I don't even remember how I got your album, but it just fascinated me.
I tell you another thing. Yiddish in Israel is not a very simple issue.
Yes.
Many years people really rejected it because it sounded very, diaspora, very weak, very old-fashioned, very not hype, Yiddish is something old. And And suddenly in the last years, there is a little bit of going back. The young people that do not even know what is the meaning of diaspora anymore, because they grew up in Israel like normal young people everywhere.
Yes, for the
they
country.
Just relate to the music, and they like the music. They like the music because today what we call the world music.
Mm-hmm.
So they are open to all kinds of things. And even some of them are even angry about their parents that they, as they say, you kept us, you hid the Yiddish
yeah.
from us.
Well, you know, this is what's happening generally, even in observance of the religion, that the young people are the ones that have become much more traditional than there was
yes.
a whole generation
exactly.
that rejected or didn't want to be associated
yeah, exactly.
on a certain level. And that, so it has kind of, you know, it's a circle. Things
yeah.
go back to
it's
the
a,
beginning.
I believe that
yeah.
life and
life
art,
is,
art especially, is a circle.
Absolutely.
It never ends.
And I must say, I am so, it's wonderful to speak with you. You are a person with such feeling and intensity,
mm-hmm.
and you're profound, but you're of the current, of the present, and I think that's really terrific. So I thank you so much for giving your time. I know that you have a long schedule.
Yeah, and, we go now to New Jersey for another concert.
Yes, you're going to North Jersey.
North Jersey, and then to New Bedford, and then back home.
Back to Israel. and again, may I call you Chava. It's just wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, and good luck to you.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.